It's minority floor leader.
I think the minority caucus is going to need a few more minutes.
Senator Burns,
if I could have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Up above me here in the east balcony, I've got a bunch of mayors from around where I live. If I recall, we've got the mayor of and city councilman of Dayton, and I think Sundance. And who else am I forgetting? And that's it. Anyway, if you welcome them to the house, I'll be
You're welcome to go to the house. Thanks for coming. We appreciate seeing you. Senator Kraft.
The minority, I've already voted, so while the rest of the minority party continues, could I have privilege of
voting? Yes, you may.
I'd like to introduce, right directly across from me, the president of Western Wyoming Community College in Rock Springs, Carla Leach.
Welcome. All right. Bills on second reading. House Bill 3, second reading of the House Bill.
Alternative schools.
House Bill 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 6, second reading of the House Bill.
Domestic assault and battery.
House Bill 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 7, second reading of the House Bill.
Unlawful entry into occupied structure.
House Bill 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 8, second reading of the House Bill.
Court reporter fee elimination.
House Bill 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. House Bill 9, second reading of the House Bill.
Bodily injury and serious bodily injury.
House Bill 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 34, second reading of the House Bill.
Solid waste cease and transfer eligibility.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, without objection, I'd like to ask that House Bill 34 be laid back for an additional day. As I mentioned yesterday, when I was using the language,
I'm trying. It's not working here. It's like... Tried to get them done. Actually, it's not the whole thing's. Yeah, the whole thing's not working.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay, no. Now we got it. All right, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, you can go to your own desk.
I'll try.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, and the light's on. That's great. Without objection, Mr. President, I'd like to ask that House Bill 34, Solid Waste Cease and Transfer Eligibility, be laid back for one additional day for second reading. I'd like to get the language tightened up a little bit. I'm having LSO take a look at drafting some better language that accomplishes exactly the same thing, but perhaps in a way we could all understand.
Okay. Without objection, House Bill 34 will be laid back for for second reading tomorrow. House Bill 46, second reading of the House Bill.
Public Employee Pension Plans Contributions.
House Bill 46, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list. I want to pull one off myself. I move, Mr. President, I do have a third reading consent list. I move the following list. House Bill 2, Bonded Indebtedness Mill Levy Supplement. House Bill 4, Pest Control Compact. House Bill 10, Water Well Permits. House Bill 40, State Employees and Officials Group Insurance Membership. And House Bill 83, Insurance Coverage of Inherited Enzymatic Disorders.
Would any members of the Senate like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Hearing none. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Or House bills pass the Senate? House Bill 2, House Bill 4, House Bill 10, House Bill 40, and House Bill 83. The Assistant Chief Clerk will call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel. Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill number 2. Any changes? Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill number 2. 30 ayes. House Bill 4, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 4, 30 ayes. House Bill 10, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 10, 30 ayes. House Bill 40, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing, vote closed. House Bill 40, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 83, are there any changes? Nicholas, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. I'm sorry. Schiffer, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Coe, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no.
Burns, aye
to no.
Ross, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. House Bill 83, 18 aye, 12 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 2, Bonded Indebtedness Mill Levy Supplement, House Bill 4, Pest Control Compact, House Bill 10, Water Well Permits, House Bill 40, State Employees and Officials Group Insurance Membership, and House Bill 83, Insurance Coverage of Inherited Enzymatic Disorders have passed the Senate. House Bill 41, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 41, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Emergency Medical Technician Pension Plan, and Act relating to the Emergency Medical Technician Pension Plan, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I ask that House Bill 41 be pulled off the consent list to give it some deeper thought with respect to what we're doing here. Folks, you know, several years ago we created this program for the EMT pension plans. Part of the problem is the EMTs are not highly paid, and they don't have a lot of revenues putting in to create a pension plan. And so the idea at the beginning, as I understood it, was that what they contribute into it, they would be able to develop the plan, but it wasn't going to become an ongoing general fund obligation. These folks are generally employed at local areas that cities and towns and counties should be the primary entity responsible. I think we're doing a couple things that are bad precedent here. One is, of course, not sure that's the state's obligation to take a group of employees of the county and say, we're going to pay your contributions for retirement. It leads down a pathway where every group that would like to have these benefits goes to the state, lobbies for a bill, and seeks their coverage. There's a second area of great concern, and that is we've now earmarking a portion of the insurance premiums that are paid by insurance companies for the payment of these retirement benefits. Those premiums are taxed. They go to the general fund. And this is a way of saying, look, I mean, the reason you don't see a profile for money is because it starts in the future. But make no doubt, these are monies that would have gone to the general fund for operation of the government, and we're now saying if you have a program that you like, you can reach in and grab the premium payments because nobody understands it or knows how it's getting paid, even though it does reduce revenue flows to your general fund. And frankly, I think it's bad practice to go into these revenue streams and intercept them for specific groups so that their programs are never reviewed. From here on out, nobody knows where the money came from. They just assume it's okay. It's a way of, frankly, concealing the cost of the program. It's not a healthy way to fund programs. I'd urge your caution on this bill.
Mr. Vice President. Oh, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and I, too, urge you to examine this bill very closely. In effect, what you've done is made a continuous appropriation to one single program with very limited participants. And if that's the highest priority we got, then make that continuous appropriation. But that's the net effect of what this bill does, nothing more. Many years ago, we used to have a number of these earmarks, what they're called, and it was a long process to get rid of most of them. In fact, you can go ahead and fund the program, but make sure you look at least every 2 years. The way this bill is constructed, you'll never see it again. I urge you, if you want to fund it, put a line in the budget and put some money in it, but at least look at it and stack that priority up against all the other priorities that's in any given biennial budget.
Mr. Vice President, then Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would urge the body to be cautious, and quite frankly, I think to vote no on this particular bill. We've got in trouble in the past, and we're struggling in the Appropriations Committee with a bill dealing with Fireman Fund A that years ago started off probably similar to this, although we had cities, towns, and counties involved and other issues involved, but there was money from the premium tax that went there. And then we ultimately took it away, and we just got into binds, and we have a bind today. I think this for the reason my colleague from up north in Johnson County brought forward and others, this just is not the time to do this, nor the bill to do it. The other thing I would point out is we think there's 170 that may be in it now, but there's an estimated 2,000 out there, so we just don't know how much it's going to cost. And ultimately, the way this bill is drafted, we have no control, and it says up to 10%. So until we finally get to that 10%, the money will just go out the door. We will have no knowledge of it. I just would hope the body would vote no.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we're not setting a precedent with this. There's two other ones the good Vice President mentioned. One, and that's the cities, towns, mostly cities and towns, and expressly, Mr. President, the top five largest cities and towns. For a good number of years, we bailed out a 1939 fireman retirement program. Been bailed out several times. There's another bailout bill in the works. But we have put tens of millions of dollars into the top five largest cities for their firemen. Now, I wasn't around back in the 60s and 70s when they were first starting to do this bailout, so I don't know what the genesis of it, but basically it was the pensions were richer than what the cities could afford, and the state came in and bailed them out in the area of public safety. This isn't a public safety bill for cities. This is a public safety bill for the rural areas, for our highways, for our counties. These are for volunteers. It's a small amount of money that they actually get at the end of the day, a few hundred dollars in retirement at the end of the day. It's modeled after the exact same plan that we have for our volunteer firemen. And it's an incentive, Mr. President, to get your EMT training, to become part of that community response team. And that's what this is about, is whether or not you need and you want to have a medical community response team in the rural areas. Now, if you don't want to have that, and conversely you want to say, well, we have to get a ambulance out of a municipality or a private ambulance that's 35 or 50 miles away when you've rolled off the road or one of your loved ones have rolled off the side of a road, and those volunteers aren't going to be there. So, Mr. President, it's a small amount of money to pay for that peace of mind that when you get an auto accident, that there's a volunteer there that has the training. And it does not set a precedent. Tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars have gone to the cities for the type of appropriation, continued appropriation, as it's characterized, and rightly so, for retirement. So, Mr. President, that's what the bill does. I think it's a fair thing to do for your peace of mind and for those rural emergency medical technicians.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and for the bill. The reason you have this pension system is that we were having a crisis a number of years ago with the EMT system in this state. We had a very close call. The health department wangled some kind of a bailout for the service that covered the Hanna Elk Mountain area, that whole stretch of I-80 in there that was in danger of just being unable to function. This system is kind of a patchwork of partly paid, slightly paid volunteers, and some county and some municipal people who are covered under their systems and not under this one. And we were in danger, Mr. President, of having great stretches of Wyoming, including some of our heavily traveled highways, just without this kind of EMT service. And that's not safe. The volunteer firemen had had great success with their pension system as an incentive to retain people. And that's the problem, Mr. President. You get into too much turnover. You get into situations where their regular employer says you're taking too much time and puts the heat on. You have too much turnover. And you need a powerful incentive to get people that are experienced to stay with it. And this is the solution we came up with. Now, you can debate whether we ought to fund this pension system the way it's funded here that your Joint Appropriations Committee brought to us, or whether you ought to straight out have a general fund appropriation. But, Mr. President, the time for that debate was Committee of the Whole, or even second reading, where you had time to bring an amendment and say, no, we'll do it this other way. But you need to do it. We've got an obligation. And if the obligation goes by the wayside and the thing doesn't work and the EMTs say, well, we can't trust that, we want cash money, we can't be without them. You wreck our tourist industry. It isn't safe to come to Wyoming. You make it unsafe for many of our citizens. You have a wreck in the wrong place, you're dead because you can't be gotten to have the people that know what they're doing get to you quick enough. We can't afford that. We kill this. We don't fund this properly. We're going to be back down here next year, the year after, with a big appropriation because we're going to have to go out and pay them cash money. Well, we just aren't going to get the service. There's enough pressures on this service. So I hear the objection that it's not funded properly. It ought to be funded in some different way. At this point, on third reading in the second house, I think we're kind of stuck with the way the Appropriations Committee did it. I think we ought to support the committee. If somebody thinks we ought to do it differently, come back in the general session and do it differently. But I can tell you, Mr. President, if you don't do it, you're asking for expensive trouble.
Further discussion? Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. And I agree that emergency care is important. But if we're going to set up a system statewide to provide that minimum level or whatever the level of care we want to provide, this is the poorest way to do it. I agree with my colleague from Natrona County. It's a hodgepodge. Rather than a hodgepodge, if you're going to talk something as serious as this, my suggestion is dispose of this bill, put it on the interim for the Health Committee to study it statewide. Because, in fact, this program is intermittent. It hits in some spots. It doesn't hit in others. If we're really serious about a program, then step back and design a program and make it right. And then you can put the funding at the appropriate level with it. But to continue, and I'll use the same word, hodgepodge a hodgepodge, that isn't how you build cost-effective and good programs. I urge you to vote no.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, on and against the bill, folks, these are local folks working for and with local hospitals and communities. And we assign a substantial amount of tax revenue to localities to pay for their bills. In this budget, there's $175 million, a record amount of money going to cities, towns, and counties. This is a high priority, and they should make it that priority. And if we're going to start accepting the responsibilities for to pay benefits for county employees, that in itself is a large shift in what we do as a state. What we ought to do is take back some of the revenues, cut back the $175 million, and then we'll pay them. And if the counties say we're not interested in making it our highest priority with the monies that you appropriate, then we can come back and have that discussion. But to earmark a revenue stream that nobody will look at, nobody will ever see again, is bad practice. I'd urge you vote no.
Senator Christensen.
President, kind of taking a different angle on this. If memory serves me right, and it doesn't always, I was on the county commission when this conversation was going around back with our local EMT group, and there was a concern about this and other things about being paid EMTs and how a lot of them didn't really want on-call money. They didn't want paid because they didn't want that connection. They wanted to be a volunteer group. And this original structure really set up and helped respect that. And so the idea of if we're going to go down this road, looking at it in a bigger fashion than just one little part, I think is wise counsel. And I guess it encourages us to defeat this.
Any further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, let's be clear about what we're doing. We do have a mixed system. Some of the EMTs work for municipal fire departments and are covered by them. Some work for county fire departments, I think in some parts of the state, are covered that way, are also volunteer firemen and are covered under the volunteer firemen's pension system. Some of them work for various ambulance systems associated with hospitals and with other special districts. And they aren't covered. And that's what this is for. And this is an incentive to get the retention that we need. It's my judgment that however you fund it, this is the most economical way to deal with the needs we have to preserve a statewide system. And I believe you and me, Mr. President, we need a statewide system. We start having big holes where there isn't a system at all. And that's what we're looking for. If we just say, we're not going to do it anymore. What we'll do is we'll have to come back with a funded statewide EMT system. And that's going to cost you money. You think it's a little money here, that'll be big money. Because a lot of the other outfits that are now picking up a good deal of slack here will drop their efforts if we have a statewide system. And I don't see how we can stop that, Mr. President. So if you don't like the funding mechanism, come back with a bill next time with a better funding mechanism. But if you just want to say no, Mr. President, there's going to be a big bill in the future because we cannot do without this. And it's been a chronic problem getting it well enough staffed, and the trends in the workplace and the trends as our population gradually increased with the demands on this are such that we cannot go back to a system where we just say let it run and take care of itself, because it won't.
Further discussion. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, I guess I've got some real concerns with this. When I get to the back page of this, and EMTs are involved, volunteers, folks. They primarily do this because they have a passion for this. They haven't signed up. But when I read things on here that says the EMT Pension Board intends to aggressively increase the marketing of the pension benefits those eligible participate. The trouble with EMTs is they may only in a rural community get called out once a month. what I envision happening, not only just the 2,000 that are currently eligible, if I can get into a pension plan and only have to work 1 or 2 days to show up for my EMT, I have a lot of questions with this, that this could rapidly escalate into 3,000 and then 4,000 people to get on the pension plan. So I do think it deserves a serious look. And when I read that the purpose of this is to aggressively increase the marketing of the pension plan, where's the limit? What's the upper limit? Do they have to? Does an EMT have to be eligible if they only go out on one call a month? Are they then eligible for the pension plan? How about if they only go out on one call a year, but they're a registered EMT? Are they eligible for the pension plan? There's a lot of unanswered questions here. And certainly this doesn't answer any of them.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, the question's called. Question is, shall House Bill 41 pass the Senate? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
No.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard? Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen? Co?
Not
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Escobel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
No.
Changes?
Burns, noted a conflict. Mr. President, I apologize for not finding the conflict of the board, but I was sitting in the chair at that time.
Burns, noted a conflict. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 17 noes.
No conflicts.
I'm sorry, 2 conflicts.
Senate File 41, or House Bill 41, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 41 has failed to pass the Senate. It's majority floor leader. We're at that order of business. Senator Dockstetter.
Quick privilege, if I may, please.
Okay.
Members of the Senate, last year I introduced you to the mayor and councilman of the most scenic city in all of Wyoming. That designation has not changed. Mayor, no, it's not cast. Mayor Sitaway, Councilman Couch, Manager Greg Wilkes, all joining us from Star Valley Ranch. Oh, well, you got more up there, too. Thank you, and Redmond. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Hicks.
And if I may have privilege of the floor.
You may.
Members of the Senate, could I help have you stand and welcome the Rollins Middle School 7th grade above us. Hey.
Hey. Welcome. Welcome. Now, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's adopted. Senator Kraft.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 1. The reading clerk will read the joint resolution.
House Joint Resolution 1, sponsored by Representative Byrd, support of Taiwan, a joint resolution requesting Congress to support Taiwan's participation in the appropriate international organizations and to resume free trade talks with Taiwan.
You've heard the reading of the bill? Excuse me.
It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, Economic Development. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Cole, Cooper, Hines. No, Senator Ruffa, Senator Hines, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Hines?
On House Joint Resolution Number 1, there are no standing committee members, and I'll yield to Senator Anderson, 2.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Chairman, a little background probably is in order. United States PRC joint communication announcing the United States at that time recognized the government of the People's Republic of China as the sole legal government of China and acknowledged the Chinese position that there is but one China and that Taiwan is then a part of that. The joint communique also stated that within the context, the people of the United States will maintain cultural, commercial, and other unofficial relations with the people of Taiwan. That's really the crux of the resolution that you have before you. The United States does not support Taiwan independence. Maintaining strong unofficial relations with Taiwan is a major U.S. goal in line with the U.S. desire to further peace and stability in Asia. The 1979 Taiwan Relations Act provides legal basis for the unofficial relationship between U.S. and Taiwan, and it enshrines a U.S. commitment to assisting Taiwan in maintaining its defensive capacity. The United States insists on peaceful resolution of the cross-strait differences, and that strait between Taiwan and mainland China is, I think, between 120, 150 miles across that, although there are some islands in between. But this also encourages a dialogue to help advances in such an outcome. So United States commercial ties with Taiwan have been maintained and have actually expanded since 1979. China enjoys export-import bank financing, overseas private investment corporation guarantees, normal trade relation status, and is ready access to U.S. markets. And in 2013, Taiwan became one of the U.S. government's visa waiver, and that's recognized in the resolution that you have before you. What the visa waiver program does is allow the Taiwanese government or businessmen and tourists to travel to the United States for 30 days without a visa. Now, part of the impetus behind this resolution is we're going to have a Taiwanese trade delegation visit us here. And one of the things that we want to do through this resolution is extend our hand of welcome for them and recognizing the status that they have. Free trade agreements have proliferated. That's kind of a tough one, but have proliferated in East Asia for over the past several years, but except for the landmark Economic Cooperation Framework Agreement, ECFA, signed with China in June 2010, so far China has been excluded from this greater economic integration in part because of its diplomatic status. I just want to talk to you for a minute in regard to our trade partnership with status. The governor just this past fall made a trip to Taiwan along with China and South Korea and other points in the Pacific Rim. The Taiwanese are important trade partners. Wyoming's merchandise exports to Taiwan were a total of $40.57 million, and we hope that that can increase with coal and natural gas and perhaps other natural resources. On a trip to Taiwan, I and at that time the president who sits right before me found that beef at that time, after they've got some of the things resolved in regard to BSE, I think it is, beef has become a very attractive export, import for them to us. Madam Chairman, I'm not going to go through the resolution in its entirety. You can all read, and I hope that you've read it. I will just call, some sections. Second page, line 8 through 18, that talks about the visa waiver program enabling the people to travel back and forth between the two countries without a visa. There's other pertinent information. I felt that this is very important. We in Wyoming are attempting to reach out to more distant markets, as evidenced by the governor's trip to Canada and the Pacific Rim. I think this is an important resolution. These would be important partners, and I think it's important for us then to go out, make these relationships, and establish gateways that will open even further to market natural gas, coal, and other products. Madam Chairman, if there are no questions, I would call for the question, but would be certainly glad to answer any if there are any such questions.
Any discussion on the resolution? Hearing question called, all those in favor of Senator Hines' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of House Joint Resolution 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Joint Resolution has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 24. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 24, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Registration Fees, House Trailers, and Act Relating to Registration of Motor Vehicles. It was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Von Flateren. No, Senators Lander and Landon and Schiffer. Senator Von Flateren, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Von Flateren?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 24, Registration Fees, House Trailers. There are no amendments. I'd ask that I yield the rest of my time, Madam Chair, to the good Senator from the South and West.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senators, Joint Transportation Committee developed with the assistance of the County Treasurers Association, and they do indeed support this bill. The bill provides for a licensing of non-commercial trailers to be based upon late, unladen weight, and repeals a fixed fee for trailer registration. I might add, fellow senators, that this is probably the only, I think it's the only license plate that we have in the state that actually you can go around and shop various counties to get the best deal on a plate. So there's been some real problems with inconsistency and fairness in how this has been treated between counties. House trailer, as used in the context of this bill, means a camper. And I know a lot of us are thinking of house trailer as what we also know as a mobile home. But this is not a mobile home, and because the mobile homes are something that's usually on a permanent or temporary foundation, and they have their own definition in the statutes that you can find in 312501. And these mobile homes that we usually think of have a different taxing structure. They're a real taxed as real property. The house trailers, as we use in the context of this bill, has its own definition, which is found in 31101A. If you look at the first page, I'd like to refer to the handout that I sent you. It's got some typewritten information on the front, and it says House Bill 24 on it. And it's got a lot of nice, pretty pictures in the back of all kinds of trailers that you'll see. It kind of looks like this. And I'd like to refer you to that for a moment or two here. As you can see from the first page on this, the county treasurers have worked really hard in trying to get this worked out so that there's not only fairness in how they handle these license plates, but also consistency and simplicity for the people who are trying to have their trailers licensed. And as you can see on there, they pretty well went through all the cause and effect of what they've been trying to deal with on this first page with these license plates. And that was the result of this bill. If you turn to the pictures on the last three pages here of this bill, you will see all the types of brands and whatever you want to think that the treasurers have to work with when trying to license these little trailers. And, I mean, it'd kind of drive you up a wall if you had to deal with all of these. And so I just kind of give you an idea of what they have to deal with. The bill only deals with the state portion, by the way, of the registration fee, so none of the county fees are affected by this bill. In order to better understand the bill also, if you look, I think it's on the second page, you will see a copy of the statute that says Chapter 3, General Fees. And that pretty well outlines what this bill is all about. And if you can see, I have a couple of little notes there in the margin and a couple of arrows there. And go through the bill now a little bit, it's a very small bill, you'll kind of see how this all comes out with this handout that I've given you. I'd like to move right over in the bill to page 2. That's where the whole meat of the bill is, and it's in section E on line 5 through line 8 on page 2 of the bill. What you can see there, it says house trailers and other non-commercial vehicles are based on unladen weight, which for the purpose of this subparagraph only shall be by the manufacturer's published weight if available. And what that second part was, was the amendment was added by the folks down the hallway from us here. And that was just so that the titles for these trailers have a published weight on them and they can use that. If not, the treasurers also have a spreadsheet that lists with wet weight tables on it for the various types of trailers. Anyway, getting back to this, the crux of the amendment, you can see on this statute that I've given you a copy of here, what we're doing is repealing the word house trailers there in Section C for $15, and we're now moving that house trailers down to Section E here and including it in with all other non-commercial trailers that are based on unladen weight. So that's the crux of the bill. We're just simply trying to make things, like I say, more fair and more consistent and also have a little simplicity of it. Now, just for one more additional thing to go back to, if you look on the last page of the handout that I gave you, you'll see some pretty nice-looking trailers of all kinds and shapes. It looks like this. It says Exhibit G on the top. You'll notice that the first one on the left-hand column there, this is like a $95,000 trailer. It weighs 13,160 pounds. If you own one of them in a lot of counties in the state, you'd pay $15 for the license plate in one county. Now, you could shop around, move over to a couple counties around you, and, you know, you might have to pay, if you go back to this picture of the license plates on here, you can see that there's a chart on here that says trailer plates, 6,000 pounds on over, $60. So in the next county over, you may pay $60 for that plate. Depends on where you go. So that's what this bill is all about, trying to get this straightened out, make it fair and a little simple, and get the kind of help the treasurers out, too, in dealing with this issue. With that, Mr. Chairman, I stand for
discussion on the bill. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Question on the language on page 2, why we're doing other non-commercial vehicles and changing it from unladen weight to the manufacturer's published weight. Is this just a way to get away from them having to weigh them, or is have a little more discussion about that, because that's a little bit different than repealing a little 2IC.
Further, Senator Meyer.
Madam Chairman, and increase the reason I thought that they were low, go down the road one.
Senator Von Fladern.
That one. Not about mobile homes. This is about other trailers with living quarters in them, which is your livestock trailers with the bunk living area up front and campers, those kind of things. So they can get down the road a lot.
Senator Burns.
Madam Chair, this bill, right now, trailers are charged a flat $15. And I was wondering if that's my understanding from the fiscal note of the original bill. Is that house trailer registration from a flat fee of $15 per trailer to a variable fee? That's my understanding of what this bill does. So I guess my first question is, this increased money is only going to the, according to the fiscal note, only going to the state, not to the counties. Did that $15 go to the county? So in other words, is any money coming from the county? Second question is, according to the fiscal note on the original bill, there would be revenue increase of $200,000 per year. And I'm wondering if Department of Transportation will be asking for that much less in their next request for appropriation.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As far as the weight goes, the change in, you know, from unladen weight, I believe, and I'd have to, if this would go to second reading, I could check on this to be sure, but I believe that the listing on the titles are listed as the unladen weight of the trailer, which is would be basically the same as the manufactured weight. However, I will check on that to be sure that that's the real deal on that. As far as the flat $15 fee to a variable fee, that is correct. We will be moving house trailers, and the reason being is it like to say, if you look at the handout that I gave you, there's a lot of those trailers. For instance, you could own a stock trailer that weighs 6,000 pounds and pay $60 for that, but if you have a house trailer, it could weigh 13, 14, 15,000 pounds to pay $15 for. So it's just a matter of, but we are in fact moving the house trailers now done into a general trailer class. The income increase, revenue increase. Let's see, you had another question about the revenue increase. I just was that. I had a note here, and I can't remember what it was.
Senator Landon.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to stand up and visit with you fellow senators about my no vote in committee. The Joint Transportation Committee did take quite a bit of testimony during the interim on this bill, and I appreciate what it's trying to do. My no vote stems quite honestly from the fact that some of the folks I represent are young people pulling horses down the road, and there might be a compartment in the front of that trailer where they crash for the night, you know, in representing them, some of these fees could go up by as much as four times what they're paying now. And so that's what gave me a little bit of heartburn with this bill is the fact that some of those fees are going to go up so dramatically. So thank you, Madam Chairman.
Senator Von Fladern.
There you go. Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason for the increase is based on the abuse of the road. So if you have under 1,000 pounds, you pay a set fee, but $15. But above 1,000 pounds, you start abusing the roads more than than the 500-pound trailer. Hence the reason for the raising of the fees. The other answer, on the fiscal note, in Trona County in particular, let's say the young rodeo at the junior at the Casper College is pulling their courses down. They do have a little living area in front. Natrona might actually charge them by weight when they register. I don't know that. I can't tell you what Natrona does. But that's one of the things we're trying to do, is be consistent across the state, because some counties will actually charge by weight. Some counties will just say, the person, if the person knows to claim it as a house trailer, if the person doesn't know to claim it as a house trailer, it'll actually be charged by weight. So we're just making it consistent across the board. And what it and it translates into how much more abuse is a road taking versus 2,000 pounds versus 13,000 pounds. That's what this bill's attempting to do.
Senator Schiffer.
Madam Chairman, and I too was a no vote, and I do shed a great amount of tears for the way we're treating our team ropers and our calf ropers and our barrel racers. You know, that are going to college, and but I won't go there, Madam Chairman. But I'm just going to cry internally about that. Because they're good kids, and they represent the state very well. But that is not my chief concern. My concern is that if the weight is not published, what this means is everybody that comes in to get a plate has to, the clerk's going to say, what's it weigh? And I'm going to say, looking at that list, it weighs obviously less than 1,000 pounds. That only cost me $2, and the thing may weigh 10,000 pounds. So they're going to have to go hook onto their trailer, find a scale somewhere, and get it weighed, and then bring it back to the clerk. The way we, and that's what's new about this. And quite frankly, that can be a burden, particularly those of us who travel 60 or 70 miles to get to the county seat so we can have the privilege of paying our license fees. And the taxes on these vehicles. And that's the effect. Some titles may have a weight on them, but the testimony was that they won't all have their weight on them. We were told Yuck County clerks can get a printout of certain trailers, and maybe it'll cover all of the trailers that are sold in the state of Wyoming. But, Madam Chairman, I doubt that seriously. So understand what you're doing. When you do this, you're going to obligate some of your constituents to go find a scale and weigh these things, make their second trip back to buy the plates. And that's what I objected to about this.
Senator Rob Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm here to complete my question. And it was partially answered by the Chairman of Transportation, which actually raised other questions. If different counties are doing this different ways, that means that the counties are actually getting money from this. And there are county roads that are getting worn on just as much as state roads are. And according to this fiscal note, all this money is going to be going to the state, none of it to the county. And so I'm just wondering, my question was, actually I had two questions. One is, will the Department of Transportation ask for $200,000 less? We know they won't. So I won't ask that question again. But are we, in fact, going to be setting this up as a statewide system? Are we, in fact, going to be taking a revenue source away from the counties that they use for their roads?
Senator Geis?
This is a pretty simple. On your car or everything. The county fees can go up. The state fees are fixed, same as on these things. So when you get done, all we're going to do is make the state fees uniform in all 23 counties.
Senator Cooper.
The answer, try to answer a few of the questions brought up, is it's like this bill is all about fairness and, you know, equity and, or equality, I guess, to say, between the different counties and everything. But the thing with it is, like, as I showed you before, there's somebody has a 13,600-pound trailer that they paid $100,000 for. They're paying $15 for a plate. Some rancher out there paid $4,000 or $5,000 for a 6,000-pound horse trailer, and he's paying $60. It's paying three times as much for that trailer that's doing half the damage to the road. But so it's about that too. As far as the published weights go, yeah, you have. If you don't accept the weight, of course, that the county treasurer has on file on a chart, then you can go and have it weighed and bring a certified weight ticket back for it. So that's not a problem. But as far as counties getting any more money from this, they will get nothing from this. We're just trying to make the thing as a fairly simple bill, just to make it so it's, like I say, again, fair and equitable, and it's consistent across the state. But the counties receive no more money for it. Yeah, the state will get a little bit more money, but it's the ones that are doing more damage to the roads. Thank you for your consideration.
Further discussion on the bill?
Yes.
Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill number 24. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 24 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 25, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Funeral Service Practitioners Act, and Act relating to embalmers and a whole other bunch of funeral directors. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senator Hines, Johnson, Nutting, and Scott. No, Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move to pass recommendation.
Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
House Bill 25, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 41, line 17.
Under House Bill 25, and I would ask that you yield my time to Senator Johnson.
Senator Johnson.
Madam Chairman, I know that you've all been waiting to get to this bill the whole session. You've look forward to it because it's so uplifting. It really is the highlight of the session. So after today is boring, nothing. Okay, if no question, then I'll explain it. When we talk about bills, we usually start telling you about what a bill does. And with this magnificent bill, I'd rather start by telling you what it doesn't do. It does not prohibit a family from having a wake, memorial of their choice, burying a family member on private land, or burying, scattering, or keeping ashes that are currently afforded under current statutes. It does not mandate that a funeral director must ever be used. We made certain to maintain that private wishes and personal choices can be carried out. Those things do not change. What does the bill do? It modernizes the Act in Title 33, Chapter 16, currently titled Embalmers, Funeral Directors, Undertakers, and Crematories, and renames it the Funeral Service Practitioners Act. That saves space in our statutes. The Wyoming Funeral Home Directors Association came with a revised model statute last spring. Staff took our current act and the modernized Model Practice Act, and the Corporations Committee worked on it all during the interim. This could have been a task force for Archaic Laws Committee. The entire act has not been fully updated since the 1930s. Which explains why you have before you a 52-page bill. This bill entirely repeals the current act and replaces it with what you have before you. The intent has not changed to provide for public health, safety, and welfare regarding the handling and final disposition of human remains. You're already all asleep. And if a person is going to hold himself or herself out as a funeral director or, say, open a crematorium or a funeral home, we want to make sure that there are regulations to protect the consumer and the public. There, a few of the archaic provisions were removed, including the use of, quote, cappers and steers. They were the salespeople for the funeral directors in the mortuaries in the 30s and prior to that. And of course, we have to update provisions of licenses, many of which have been held since 1939. Why is this legislation needed sooner than later? Throughout the bill is new language defining and regulating chemical disposition. Years ago, we added the recognition of cremation in the statute, but now there is another way to quickly reduce human remains without cremation, and that is through what is now defined as chemical disposition. Through chemical injection, a body can be reduced to a powder. It's being sold as the new green thing, a spa bath, and we believe the practice of disposing of human remains through chemical injection should be regulated, which is why you have this bill this year rather than next year. We're also updating the educational requirements for funeral service practitioners. Their licensure to meet national standards, allow for reciprocity, the requirements is 60 credit hours and a degree in funeral service practice or mortuary science. We made certain to grandfather any current license holders or current apprentices working to get their license. This change mirrors requirements in other states. The committee heard testimony from both members of the Wyoming Funeral Directors Association and the State Board of Embalmers. The coroners were also present during the hearings, and there were no objections from any of the groups. The House made a couple of minor changes. On page 5 and over to 6, they clarified that we are getting rid of funeral director licenses and moving into a funeral practitioner license, and language further clarifies and grandfathers that change. On page 42, the Insurance Commission made a good catch. There's no such thing as funeral insurance. In the insurance code, which is Title 26, another title, what they do oversee and license is referred to as pre-need funeral contracts. On page 42, line 7, the House deleted the word funeral before insurance and then inserted or pre-need funeral contracts authorized by that license. When they have pre-need funeral contracts, they don't have to have a license to sell insurance. In committee, the standing committee amendment number 1, we tightened up page 41 pertaining to exceptions. We're clarifying that House Bill 25, the exceptions were in regards to the ceremony, the memorial, not an exception for the handling of human remains. And at this time, Madam Chairman, I would ask if there are any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment and request an aye vote.
We're discussing Standing Committee Amendment number 1. Is there further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Johnson's motion to adopt Standing Committee number 1 to House Bill number 25, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Standing Committee amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And rather than going page by page for 52 pages, I'll just walk through it right now, standing here. The definitions begin on page 2. Many of those are current statute with the addition of chemical disposer and chemical disposition on page 3. Page 4 is current statute. On page 5 and over to 6, we grandfather in the funeral director license and recognize the funeral practitioners. We define a funeral service practice on pages 7 and 8 and reference on the top page of 7 that there are exemptions. Page 8 and 9 are current definitions. Page 10 through 35 reflect current statute regarding the duties of the state board, the licensing and permits they oversee, allows for reciprocity, allows for emergency licensing in case of a disaster, and outlines the new requirements for licensure, including education and graduation from accredited funeral education program. 60 credit hours in any field and a funeral service degree is usually a 2-year program. Page 40 is current statute. Page 41 begins the exemptions. This is where we made sure you can have whatever kind of service or memorial or be buried or scattered where you want. It's important to know that the funeral director said that all of the problems they have, especially where you can or cannot be buried, comes through county and or city regulation, not from the state, not from our statutes. Pages 42 through 50, our current statute, we just added chemical disposition facilities. Page 51, we repeal the old statute and transfer all of the duties of the former Board of Embalming, including their rules and regulations, to the Board of Funeral Service. That also includes the current members of the Board of Embalming. And that's the explanation of the bill, Madam Chairman. I stand for questions, and if none, ask for a vote.
Discussion on the bill? Question having been called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill number 25, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill 25 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader?
I guess it's lunch. The whole beg leave to rise and sit again while we eat.
Mr. President. Oh, you've heard the motion. What is your pleasure? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Shall we adjourn or recess?
Mr. President.
Yeah, go get in the front.
This little thing is really pinky.
Ooh, I move that we stand.
Get your books out.
Adjournment while we pee and then we'll read.
Okay. Messages from the House?
February the 26th, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message number 183, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 70, State Appropriations, Lapsing of Funds. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. February the 26th, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message 184, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 103, State Buildings Construction. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 60. February the 26th, 2014, from the House of Representatives, message third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 9, Probation and Parole Agent Arrest Authority, ayes 59, excused 1. House Senate File 15, Community College Major Maintenance, ayes 59, excused 1. Senate File 26, Endowment Challenge Program, State Funds Inviolate. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Senate File 27, Endowment Challenge Program Fees. Ayes 59, excused 1. Senate File 29, Supervised Probation of Misdemeanants. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. Senate File 50, State Minors Health Coverage. Ayes 58, excused 1, conflict 1. And Senate File 54, Reports to the Legislature. Ayes 59, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 26th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 95, engrossed, Diabetes Care Planning, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 26th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 86, engrossed, Rural Health Care Districts Authority. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, 28, Kraft, Nutting, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman. February the 26th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 178, engrossed, Computer Trespass. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, Hicks, and Schiffer, Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Okay. It's the majority floor leader. That clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there announcements?
Mr. President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you. The Senate Rules Committee will meet just after we finish eating to consider the following bills. House Bill 36, Constituent Service Allowance. House Bill 37, Engrossed, Revisers Bill. House Bill 62, General Procedures for Licensing Boards, Licensure Boards. And House Bill 123, Engrossed, Unified Administrative Code and Database.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Please note the time to consider the following bills. House Bill 18, Coroner's Standards Enforcement. House Bill 13, UCC Liens, Electronic Filing. House Bill 14, Business Entities Revisions. House Bill 15, Business Entities Enforcement and Penalties. House Bill 19, Engrossed, Notary Fees. House Bill 146, Engrossed, Study of State Human Resource Positions. And, Mr. President, if we don't get through these, we're going to try to find another time to squeeze in and finish these bills up.
Senator Burns?
Okay. Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room 302, not our usual room, the big meeting room. We will take up House Bill 102, Engrossed, Sage-Grouse Implementation Team, House Bill 48, Fishing with Artificial Light, and House Bill 140, Complementary Hunting Licenses, Persons with Disabilities.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Revenue Committee, Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet 30 minutes after recess here today in room S16 up here in the corner. Take up House Bill 63, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption. House Bill 47, Engrossed, Government Royalty Revenues Definition. House Bill 145, Streamlined Sales Tax Amendments. Also, Mr. President, your committee number 3 will meet tomorrow, again, 30 minutes after noon recess, to take up House Bill 135, Small Business Investment Credit Number of Employees. House Bill 154, Exemption of Gratuities. And House Bill 21, Engrossed, Property Tax Exemption Charity.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your conference committee on the budget bill will meet at 12:30 to discuss with the House some differences we might have in the Joint Appropriations Committee, Room 204.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of your good chairman, your Transportation Committee number 8 will meet upon adjournment today in Room S-14 to consider the following bills: House Bill 88, Engrossed Postdated Checks; House Bill 12, 80-mile-per-hour speed limit; and House Joint Resolution 5, Moose Wilson Roadway. Thank you.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.